Welcome back. As we talk about kidney transplants and kidney donations, here in the studio, Dr. Robert Montgomery. He's Associate Professor of Surgery and Director of the Comprehensive Transplant Center at Johns Hopkins University here in Baltimore. We are broadcasting today from WYPR in Baltimore. Also here in the studio, Summer Gentry. She's with the Laboratory for Information and Decision Systems at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Earlier, we heard from Dr. Francis Delmonico. He is president-elect of the United Network for Organ Sharing, and I want to thank him for joining us for the first part of the program. Here's an email that I think you'll appreciate, Dr. Montgomery. This is from Katie in Miami, who says, I donated one of my kidneys to my daughter when she was 4 years old. Yes, she received a wonderful gift of life, but I received something special too. To see the transformation in her is almost indescribable. The doctors were right. After her transplant, her health improved dramatically. Her energy levels increased. Her hospital stays much less frequent. As the donor, I made a complete recovery from surgery. Yes, it was painful recovering from the surgery. I do watch my health more carefully, but have had no problem since the transplant almost 4.5 years ago. As a 40-year-old woman, I wear my scar with pride.
Well, there's not much more to add to that.
Just
that's
perfectly
wonderful.
Lovely. All right, let's go now to St. Clair Shores, Michigan. John, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
I love your show, Diane. I'm
Thank
glad
you
so cover
much.
These subjects. I gave a kidney to my longtime girlfriend out of St. John Hospital in Detroit. And it went well, but I had some complications. I was hospitalized about 3 months later for adhesions. And then about 8 months after that, I had a liver infection that moved to my gallbladder, and they had to take that out also. I had lost my insurance shortly after I had given the transplant, and because of that, I'm going to end up declaring bankruptcy. Some of the money issues need to be addressed, and I don't think they have. I'm still glad I did what I did. And even with everything that has happened, I would still do it again. But there are a lot of things that can happen that aren't made clear.
Yeah, that's interesting. Dr. Montgomery, do you want to comment?
Well, I think the caller brings up an excellent point, and that's that there's really a lack of long-term care of patients who have donated. And this is something that has been discussed a lot in the field. As far as the actual hospitalization and the post-operative care, that is actually paid for by the recipient's insurance company. But when patients present, you know, a year, 2 years, 10 years later with some medical problem that may or may not be related to the donor operation, then one wonders what is the responsibility of the transplant center to care for those patients, and particularly if they have insurance problems. I think most people in the field have been very generous, but I think that that issue that this caller brings up is a really important thing that we are going to need to to come to some sort of a consensus about.
How do you think that can be addressed? I mean, if a subsequent health problem turns up, first of all, it's a burden on the patient himself to connect it then to the
right.
kidney donation, and that in itself becomes a problem.
Yeah, and fortunately, it's not as common as one might think, but it is a problem. Generally speaking, if a patient has developed a complication within a year of when the transplant occurred, then the transplant center will take care of that problem. We don't see that very often, but again, does that mean that the patient's health care for the rest of their lives should be the responsibility of the transplant center? I think most people would say no, but I think it needs to be studied, and I think it needs to be discussed more in the public.
Good. Thanks for your call, John. Let's go now to Scottsdale, Arizona. Hi there, Janet.
Hello. Good morning, Diane.
Morning.
I wanted to say several things. First of all, thank you for making this so available to the people to understand that you can be a living kidney donor. So many people don't know it. We have firsthand information because my daughter, Linda, who lives in Pennsylvania, donated one of her kidneys to a church member about 3 years ago. And in 2 weeks, she was back to normal. Both of them are doing perfectly well. Unfortunately, my daughter-in-law, Anita, desperately needs a kidney now. And she has been sick since childhood with childhood diabetes, has had a kidney and pancreas transplant, and now the kidney failed. No one in the family could help. I took it upon myself to have a campaign to educate people in some way. I wrote up her story. I posted it on several websites. I was fortunate enough to have the Scottsdale Republic, part of the Arizona Republic newspaper, write up her story on Christmas about giving the gift of life. Well, Diane, from all these sources, we were able to get 12 people responding, and no one asked for money. Everyone gave us different reasons why they wanted to do it. They had family members who have been sick, other friends who have done it, and I even tried to be a donor. I went through all the testing at Mayo Hospital, and I was not able to be a donor. We are on our third donor now. This young woman who is being tested at the moment is 37 years old. She has a child of her own. She has friends who have donated a kidney. She understands what's involved, and she has met Anita, and she has met all of us. And she's giving us her reasons why she wants to do it, and money is not involved. You have to make the people aware that there are so many good people out there, so many people who are willing to help if only the word is let out. And the word should be let out that you don't have to die. Donate a kidney.
I'm so glad you called, Janet. Thank you for that testimony. Now, the question becomes, how much farther is she going to have to look? I mean, she's going to have to keep looking for that compatibility to make this transplant work.
Yeah, she's sensitized, as Bob saying about, she's sensitized because of the previous transplants. The vision of creating a national paired kidney donation program is that those people will benefit. Those people will be able to find the rare match.
And let's hope she does. Thanks for calling. Let's go to Palm Coast, Florida, and to Sam. Good morning, sir. You're on the air.
Good morning. I just have an idea, a thought that I admit is kind of marketing and appeals to human greed and fear, as opposed to the really wonderful stories we've just been hearing. And it also applies to more than just kidneys. It applies to all the organs. And that is to basically take people who are willing to name themselves as organ donors in for whatever event, car accident, living donor in the case of kidneys and so forth, to take those people who are on the organ donor registry and always have them at the head of the list if they ever need an organ. I was at the registry of motor vehicles in my former state, where I used to work at Mass General in the radiology department, and I was renewing my license, and there was a woman in front of me, a young woman, who was asked by the clerk, would you like to be an organ donor? She lurched back in horror and turned to her friend and said, oh, how awful, what an awful thought, taking your body apart. And I just thought, you know, if that young woman had a parent or a child in the future who needed an organ, perhaps her attitude would be different.
So the whole issue is certainly one of education, is it not, Dr.
Montgomery? That's correct. And, you know, there have been a lot of ideas put forward about how donation, particularly deceased donation, should occur. And one of them is what your caller has described, the concept that if you declare yourself a donor, then you would get some sort of priority if you ever needed an organ yourself. Most of us are uncomfortable with that idea because not everybody is educated about donation, and not everyone understands how safe it is. Not everyone understands the benefits of being a donor. And there's a lot of mythology out there. And the type of mythology that the caller referred to, the idea that somehow the body's going to, you know, be taken apart, or all these sort of, you know, wild stories are circulating out there. So I think that it's the answer to all of this is education and exploding those myths.
Indeed. Let's go to Dallas, Texas. Hello there, Carol.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for taking the call. I just think that sometimes doctors make kidney donation sound very easy, but what they don't often tell people is that they're also losing an adrenal gland when they lose a kidney, because it sits on top of the kidney. And secondly, I have a sister-in-law who had both a pancreas and kidney transplant because of diabetes and is doing well. But they told her to never take any medication with ibuprofen in it, as it damages the kidney. And I have a friend who lost a kidney due to a benign tumor and was never told that information. And I think sometimes the kidney is donated and the patient is not monitored properly for other health concerns that may incur because of the kidney and adrenal gland loss.
So that's
all I had to say. I just think
patients should
be aware of that.
Sure.
Well, you know, I don't really want to go into the specifics of the operation, but generally the adrenal gland is preserved when a kidney is removed, and it's just the kidney itself that's removed.
So
but
you're
I think her
saying
point,
our caller is wrong.
Well, I'm sure there have been some circumstances where an adrenal gland has been damaged or whatever, but that's not what is routinely done. The kidney is removed in isolation.
I see. At 7 minutes before the hour, you're listening to the Diane Rehm Show. So what you're saying is that what the caller described was a mishap.
Well, I think, you know, more importantly, the caller is referring to something that we discussed earlier, which is, what is our responsibility as a medical field to these patients who have donated organs? I mean, we're very careful about education and about telling them what they should do and shouldn't do and how to protect their remaining kidney. But, you know, I think that that is something that we're going to need to look into in a much greater depth than where we are now.
I wonder, this is total speculation just off the top of my head, but with all the part replacements that are currently in our body, knees, legs, thighs, arms, shoulders, is there any thinking on the horizon that an artificial kidney might someday, as the artificial heart, which was attempted a while back, is there some thinking toward the creation of an artificial kidney, Dr. Montgomery?
Well, there's certainly a lot of work, particularly in the field of stem cell research, in ways of encouraging cells to become like kidney cells. The kidney is an enormously complicated organ. and no disrespect to the heart, but the heart is a pump, and the heart can be, the action of the heart can be duplicated more easily than all the things that the kidney does in terms of cleaning out toxins and that sort of thing.
So you're saying it's easier to create an artificial heart than it is to create an artificial kidney?
Well, an implantable
I see.
Artificial kidney. Remember, dialysis is essentially like an artificial kidney, but certainly the field is much more advanced in implantable heart devices than it is in kidneys. But, you know, the thing is that there are various potential things on the horizon that could alleviate some of these the problems with the shortage of kidneys, but none of them are going to happen soon. There's the idea of using organs from other species, from pigs and, you know, other types of animals. But again, there are problems with some of that work, and it's way off. And what we need to be concentrating on now are the obtainable goals that that we can shoot for.
And I gather if you'd like to put your name on an organ donation list, you can call UNOS, which is the United Network for Organ Sharing, at 888-894-6361. I want to thank you both so much for being with us, Dr. Robert Montgomery of Johns Hopkins, Summer Gentry at MIT. Thank you both. Thanks to our hosts here at WYPR in Baltimore. Thanks for listening. I'm Diane Rehm.
The Diane Rehm Show is produced by Sandra Pinkard, Elizabeth Terry, Ann Adams, Nancy Robertson, and Jonathan Smith. The engineer is Toby Schreiner. Dorianisman answers the phones. For schedule information, cassette and CD sales, audio archives, and more, visit drshow.org. Call 202-885-1200. Our email address is drshow@wamu.org. This program comes to you from American University in Washington. This is NPR, National Public Radio.